unique to this situation of coming to different junctures in life, whether it's traveling down the road with kids in the car after 12 hours of driving through parts of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and lots of Saskatchewan, and even more Saskatchewan, into most of Manitoba, finally at arriving at my wife's family's home and pulling up close to the acreage. We can see that one standout oak tree just before their acreage, and I announced to everybody in the car, "Here we are." And everybody knows in the car, "Hey, we're here, we're here." Actually, they knew that a long time ago, but just as a dad, I get to say those things, right? Speaking of lame dad jokes, who mentioned that earlier? Lame dad jokes. Oh, I got lots more. Anyways, we've said that statement. You've heard that statement. Here we are. That can indicate a whole lot of things, depending on the context. Sometimes when we say that statement, it's a sentiment indicating arrival at a destination. Whether you're on an airplane or a bus or a train, somebody announces, "Here we are. This is your stop. End of the road." And you enter into a new phase, a new time, new relationships, and so forth. Or it could be a sentiment indicating placement in given surroundings, be they geographical or situational. And we find ourselves in all kinds of situations from day to day, situation to situation, where we say to ourselves, "Here we are." And it kind of begs the question, so what do we do given all of these things around us in our situation? Many people in our world are asking that question or saying that thing right now. Here we are. Canada has been saying that. Here we are, Humboldt, Saskatchewan. As a collective country, we're here. We're wrapping our arms around you. Here we are. We're here for you. And the people of Humboldt, Saskatchewan, in particular, the families of those who lost young lives, are asking themselves, well, here we are, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? They're in a situation. We all find ourselves in situations. We had a great send-off for Pastor Mark and Rebecca last Sunday morning and evening. And some of you might be wondering, so here we are now, where do we go from here? What next? Well, I can tell you one thing. Pastor Mark and Rebecca are probably enjoying a new phase of their life where they're free to come and go and get things figured out for the future. And they're doing great. They're on the road, they're at home, they're doing whatever their hearts please right now in preparation for their next phase of life. And here we are. Here we are. We get to be here. So, where do we go from here? Well, you know, I think at certain junctures in life, it's important to take a bit of inventory. You do that from time to time in your own life, right? You assess what you've got in the fridge, for instance, before you go on a shopping trip to the grocery store. You've been making a list for a while. You've been taking inventory. And you know that you're gonna replenish certain things in the cupboards or in the fridge. You do the same thing when you see the gas gauge in the car going down. You're assessing. You're taking inventory as you're driving. We take inventory in our relationships. We take inventory. We count things. We want to see who's here and what's happening, what's going on. We take inventory. That's not a bad thing. There are times in the scriptures in the Old Testament where leaders were told not to take inventory. Do not take a census. Because when you take a census, it's going to mess you up a little bit. You don't need to burden yourself with those details. God said, "I'm with you. I'm leading you. Don't worry about some of those number details about how many you've got. Just know that I'm with you." At other times, we need to take a little bit of account. Well, it's interesting to me that the ministry of Jesus with his disciples was bookended with fishing trips. It was really bookended with fishing trips. We find in Luke chapter 5, verses 5 to 7, that Jesus was calling some of his disciples, and as he called his disciples, they were out in a boat, and they weren't doing so good at fishing that at that particular time. So he called to them and said, why don't you throw your net on the other side of the net, or other side of the boat? And there's a little bit of discussion about that, but they complied. And lo and behold, the nets began to get filled up so full they began to tear. And it was a miraculous catch of fish. And I don't know if they counted all of those fish, but on the last fishing trip on earth with Jesus, they counted the fish. Have you noticed that? In John chapter 21, verses 4 to 11, after Jesus had risen from the dead, it's the account where some of the disciples decided, hey, I'm going fishing. And perhaps they were just trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Kind of assess what's happened in our lives recently. Where are we going? What's my part in this kingdom mission that Jesus started us on? How's this going to all fit together? So they went fishing. Little did they know that Jesus was on the shore watching them. And he called out to them again, hey, you caught any fish? No, not really, not really. They didn't twig on that it was Jesus on the shore. He already had a little fire going. He already had baked some bread, and he had some fish frying over the fire in preparation for them coming back to shore. So he said to them, hey, throw your nets out again. And they did so. And this time, the net became so full, and all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, déjà vu. We've seen this before. That voice, I thought it was familiar. Hey, that's Jesus. And then they start making a beeline for shore, dragging the net behind them, and it was so full, but it's interesting that the scripture says this time it didn't tear. You ever thought about that? The first time when they met Jesus, there were so many fish that the nets were tearing. The second time when they went out after the resurrection of Jesus, and he tells them to cast their nets in a certain fashion, they filled up again, the net filled up again. But as they were dragging it to shore, no rips in the net. It's interesting that John made mention of that. I have no idea what that means. You can figure it out for yourselves. Ponder that somewhere, maybe over lunch. Why did John mention that it didn't tear the first time it did? Well, in any case, you can surmise about all kinds of things about that. But one of the things that seems to say to me is that at that juncture in life when they had to make some new decisions and go, you know, they were called to be fishers of men. They were called to be in the kingdom doing kingdom work. And when they were going to do it in the fashion that Jesus told them about, it would fill up and it wouldn't rip apart. It would stay together and it would hold all 153 of those fish. And they did a count, obviously. They took inventory. And they were large fish, it says. And the nets held and they pulled all of those fish onto shore. And then they had a time of breakfast with Jesus on the shore. What an amazing time that would have been. Well, in Matthew chapter 14 and in Matthew chapter 15, we have another fish story of sorts. A little inventory was taken here again. They did some counting. And in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, this is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was teaching on the hillside, and a lot of people were there. They were there for a long time, and Jesus felt for them. They would have been hungry after listening to him for a long time. And you're going to be hungry after listening to me for a long time this morning, too. So I've arranged for some bread and fish here this morning. No, I haven't. Sorry. But in any case, so Jesus assessed the situation. He saw all of these people, and it said that there were at least 5,000 men plus women and kids. That's a lot of people. And they were probably getting tired. They were hungry. Some were getting hangry. And it was time to do something about it. So Jesus had them assess the situation. He called his disciples together and said, well, how much food do we have here? And they scoured around, and they found that a little guy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, that's enough. And so he did something. He took those five loaves and two fish and he held it up and he gave thanks to God, to his Father in heaven, for this food. And then he broke it apart and he gave it to his disciples to distribute amongst all of those hungry people there. And everybody ate their fill until they were stuffed, and there were 12 basketfuls left over. That's an amazing story. But there was an inventory taken. 5,000 plus women and kids, 5 loaves and 2 fish, 12 basketfuls left over. And then in Matthew 15, chapter 32 and verse 32 and following, there's another inventory taken. It's a different situation in the same Gospel of Matthew. This time there are 4,000 men plus women and kids, 7 loaves and a few fish. And Jesus did the same thing. He held it up to heaven. He gave thanks for it. And then he broke it apart. And he gave it to his disciples to distribute amongst all of those there. And the scripture says that they had as much as they wanted. They stuffed themselves, probably. And I wonder, it was probably the best fish and bread they'd ever eaten, straight from heaven. And at this time, there were 7 large basketfuls left over. So Jesus, in a sense, was saying to his disciples, when he said that they're all hungry, we got to do something about this. And they said, well, what are we going to do? And he says, well, here we are. He might have said, here we are. Guys, we're going to do something about this. Well, he kind of did say that. But here we are. This is the situation. There's hungry people here. This is what we do when there's hungry people. And there's way too many of them for us to feed. We take what is. We give thanks for it. We bless it. We break it apart, we distribute it, and we're going to gather up the leftovers because that's how God's kingdom works. It's multiplication, it's more than enough, and it blesses all those nearby. So here we are this morning. We're sitting in a building that we come to worship to and have fellowship in. We have weddings here, we have funerals here, we have social times here, we have teaching times here, and we are River Valley Community Church. The building isn't, but this is River Valley Community Church collectively gathered here this morning. Here we are. I think it's a good thing for us this morning to take inventory for just a few minutes, to hold it up to God and give thanks for what we have in our possession. And then to expect increase and multiplication for what God is doing and will continue to do through River Valley Community Church as his kingdom is extended through our reach collectively together. Here we are. And I would just like to say that the greatest asset to be inventoried, to be counted, are not buildings, although we have a few buildings, 2 campuses, that's amazing. We have lots of great resources. We have enough chairs for everybody here. We have great resources for worship teams and places to gather, and we've got Bibles and all kinds of things. But the greatest resource, asset to inventory is people. They're you and me. We could have the most beautiful campuses in the city of Medicine Hat. But if they were void of people, there would be no point. The greatest asset we have, it's you and me, together, as we work and serve and grow together. So exactly, we are here, here we are, but who's the we? What is it that we possess? So just for a few moments, I'd like to do this little bit of an inventory with us and just let you know some of the things that are happening and how things are progressing in the life of River Valley Community Church. As I mentioned, we have 2 campuses. And we're still thinking about an arena. And just to let you know where that sits right now, the shorter answer is I really don't know. And it's not because we haven't researched and asked questions, it's because we really don't know. We are waiting on the folks at City Hall to give us a call so that we can go in and spend a little bit of time with the City Council so that they can hear our ideas firsthand. We've talked with some people that work at City Hall, but not the city councilors. And they're the ones that ultimately make these decisions. So in reality, we don't have an arena to inventory yet. But what that has done for us, it has allowed us to start creating relationships with people throughout the city about ideas of needful things that have to take place or should be taking place within the city of Medicine Hat. We're waiting for City Hall to give us a call. I was given a call a few weeks ago, and I was told that, this person said, you're probably getting anxious and wondering why you're not hearing from us. It's not because we're not interested, it's just that we're not ready for you yet. But within the next 2 weeks, you should be having a meeting. That was a couple of weeks ago now, and so we haven't heard back yet. But so I emailed this last week and said, hey, just how can we prepare for this meeting? What kind of materials should we have on hand? What resources should we have on hand for this meeting? And the answer came back, I really don't know. So we're not the only ones that don't know at this point. But the assurance was given, we will contact you when it's time to have that meeting, and we will help you through that process. And again, we don't know when that's going to be. But in the meantime, there are things that are needful and we need to keep moving towards. So we do have these two campuses. We have lots of room between two buildings. But I want to tell you something, that there is a squeeze here on Sunday mornings with children's ministries. And so that is an issue. We love to see lots and lots of kids coming. And kids are amazing. They're fun. However, when there's a whole lot of them together in a small space, it can get really, really exciting, right? And so we need better space for kids on Sunday morning. This building is a beautiful building. It was not built originally with Christian education in mind. That just was not in the design of the building at that time, as far as ministry to small groups of kids or even larger groups of kids. And so as deacon board, as the elder board, we talk about these things. And I'm going to ask you to put into your inventory of prayers, pray for wisdom and understanding as to how to develop better space for kids. Is it within this existing building? Do we purchase lots behind this building and put up a whole different wing for Kids Ministries Plus? You know, do we do something at the other campus? Do we wait and wait and wait and wait for the possibility of the arena? So those are things that we're thinking through, praying through, because these are real needs, real situations. And you know, God has mandated that he wants to multiply his kingdom, multiply those who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ, which puts the onus on us to make room for people. And children in particular is where we need the space right now. So as we've inventoried our space, we know we need to make some changes to make room for chillins and all of the excitement that they bring. So please pray for that. Along with children, our inventory tells us that we actually are in need of more people to help lead children on Sunday morning. So our inventory has gotten a little low with leading kids on Sunday morning. And so again, as pastor and shepherd here, I know Pastor Randy has come to us as a congregation more than once and presented this, but I'm presenting it again, that's an area that is needful, and we need people who have a heart for kids to commit to spending time on Sunday mornings with children. And they are fun. They are fun, and you will grow through being with children, absolutely. So please keep that in mind. Just some other things that we're working towards as far as inventory is concerned. We heard from Herb Lee, and we knew it ourselves, that we need to grow younger in leadership in our congregation. as pastors, we've talked about this before. Some of us aren't getting any younger. Pastor Ken is effervescently young. And Pastor Randy has energy. He's young. Me, not so much. I have energy too. But you know what? The clock is ticking. And we're looking at these things. It's not going to be long before some of us are going to be saying, we need to switch gears. And we need to do that yesterday in some respects. And so I've believed this, that there are people right in our midst that God is raising up to be involved in leadership in our congregation, not only on a board or a committee of some kind, but also with direct ministry initiatives. And who knows, but perhaps God is raising up pastoral leaders in our congregation, be they men, be they women. And I believe that strongly. And I think that's going to be borne out in days and weeks and months ahead, that God is raising his people up to continue the work here in new and unique ways in the culture that is around us today. So we've listened to Herb Lee. We've known it ourselves. We're doing some things about this. We want to give opportunities more and more and more for younger folks, young adults, young couples to be involved in giving leadership, working into leadership in the church. How do we do that? Numerous ways. Starting kids ministry. No, just kidding. But you can if you want. That's an excellent place to begin. But I'll tell you something. Children's ministry needs qualified people. Children's ministry is not just a beginning place. Children's ministry is a place where the right people with the right heart and the right gifts need to be involved. So children's ministry, here I'll say this. In many church settings, children's ministries and youth ministries are sometimes the most underfunded places in the church. And it's other places where we as adults like to be and like to be comfortable and enjoy things, where often that's the resourcing. That's where the resourcing goes. But if we put very good resourcing into children's ministries, those areas will grow and they will flourish. And families need to see, new families, when we reach out, need to see that we believe in kids. And that's reflected in how we put our resources towards kids ministries, youth ministries, young adult ministries. So that's a bit of an aside. Okay. Raising up younger folks in leadership. I believe that it's good if students outgrow their teachers and leaders. I'm good with that. I've enjoyed all of the opportunities that have been put before me to learn and grow, to get education towards ministry, to be involved in ministry. I've enjoyed those things. And at this stage in my life, I want to keep growing and I want to keep learning, but it's not at the expense of keeping ahead of everybody else so that no one else can catch me. That's not it at all. The idea is I want others to come along and have the same experiences and more than I ever did. To learn and grow and be given opportunities to serve and do hands-on ministry in ways that I never did. And so I think every generation ought to be raising the bar and turning over to the up-and-coming generation amazing opportunities. So as we are recognizing different people, young adults, young couples, young individuals in our congregation who are gifted, let's get them involved. Let's do this. And they are ahead of me, that's for sure, in many different ways. So it's important to keep moving that ahead. We've been heard of this morning already that Julie Lane is going to be speaking next week. and you are going to hear an articulate, intelligent, gifted, passionate young mom who has a heart for what's happening in our educational system these days and families in general. And she has information available to her that she has been sharing that is important for us to hear her. But we're going to give her the morning to do that. And she will bring with her an explanation of resources and practical things that we as believers can do to make a difference in what's happening with the political system and with raising kids in today's world. So when we recognize giftings in people, we want to raise them up and let them loose, right? So another thing that we'll be doing is this Mother's Day. I'm really looking forward to Mother's Day. And I'm not even a mother, but I'm looking forward to Mother's Day. We will have the youth leaders and young adult leaders, as along with the youth and young adult folks, they'll be giving shape to that service. And so we're going to let them loose. The worship team is already in place for that day, but we're going to let those folks loose to design a service that they believe will be honoring to moms and lift us all up together in Christ. Father's Day, we're going to have one of our younger couples somehow figure that out. We're not quite there yet, but I'm looking forward to one of them sharing on that particular Sunday and having some other men involved as well in giving shape to Father's Day weekend. Raising up the younger generation. We are going to be having, hopefully in October or November, depending on availability of someone to facilitate, but we're looking at working towards a prophetic weekend and bringing someone in who's highly gifted and just amazing with people to teach, to lead, and to minister in the prophetic with us throughout a weekend in our church here. And so that's coming in October or November. So we're excited about moving towards that. Also, getting other people involved to give shape to that experience. As pastors, we know that we need to dedicate more of our time to the Word, to prayer, to meeting with leaders, and doing pastoral ministry work. But so much of these things we just need to give over to people who are gifted and qualified and can step into these things and learn and grow, because there's so much that people have to offer within our congregation here. So we're just going to step aside a little bit and let people get into it. And so this is a good environment for people to learn. Any church needs to be a good environment where it's safe for people to make mistakes too. I've made lots of mistakes from the pulpit or in board meetings or you name it. I've made lots of mistakes, but people have always been gracious and kind and understanding and forgiving. We need to offer that to all of us within the body. So when people are doing something for the first time, perhaps, we need to have that understanding and grace extended that we are growing leaders in our congregation. We are going to see people raised up more and more and more. I'm very excited that as far as worship teams go, we now have 5 worship teams. And we've had newer folk come within the last while who are very gifted in leading music, playing instruments, singing, leading in worship, to come alongside of our existing worship teams. And so that area is growing. It's great to have a variety of different groups give leadership on Sunday mornings. We all have our favorite styles of music, right? Country and Western, for instance. Not necessarily for worship, but we all have our favorite styles. But you know, with 5 worship teams, every one of those teams will do things a little bit differently. All of the leaders will do things a little bit differently. That's a blessing for the body. So when it's a weekend, when it's my favorite style, I don't over-exaggerate my enthusiasm. I enter into worship. When it's a group that's not exactly my favorite style, you know what? I enter into worship with an attitude of worship, and I'm not so concerned about the style of music. Okay? That's just called relational maturity with one another. So I am glad that we are blessed with good worship teams. And Janae Sturkenberg has taken on recently the volunteer situation of being a coordinator, especially of putting schedules together and some resourcing, talking with the worship teams and worship leaders, getting ideas, hearing of ideas, and together working so that there will be a flow and just coordination between the worship teams and what we do on Sunday morning, also coordinating our sound personnel schedules and PowerPoint personnel schedules and so forth. And right now we have a really easy PowerPoint schedule because we really only have one person or a couple that is involved with that. And it would be really super if we could raise up a few more other people who were really apt with computers that can help with those kinds of things. So, Janae, thanks for stepping up to the plate. Thank you, worship leaders and teams, for stepping up to the plate and putting in time and energy. And you know something? We see their hearts when they're worshiping and leading us in worship. And that is so, so key. So we appreciate all that they do. With that, we are banking on a new soundboard that will simplify some things. It will simplify, if any of you have had opportunity to lift some of these lids here, there's rat's nests underneath there. Not real rodent nests, but wires all over the place. And that has brought confusion. And so with a new soundboard, that will be deleted. It'll be simplified. Also, with that, we will be having in-ear monitors for our worship team members. So that should eliminate all of the extra noise coming through the monitors, because you know what happens. As polite and nice and prayerful as our worship team members are, you know what happens when one person has a monitor here and another person is beside them with another monitor and that person's monitor is too loud. I need more of myself through the monitor. So that gets turned up. Then the other person says, well, I need more in my monitor. And pretty soon, there's a lot of noise. Extra noise that happens up here, which makes it very difficult for our sound engineers, like Mike in the back, to control all of that. So in any case, we're working towards fixing all of that and moving forward with better sound control here. On Sunday mornings. I mean, this is just a little bit about things that happen here on Sunday mornings. We've got things that continue throughout the week. I'm looking at folks who are involved with Oasis Cafe, and you know, Amanda, I was just blown away a few weeks ago. Yep, you're waving up there. You've been part of Oasis for a little while now, and you were talking about telling everybody about Oasis. Well, we should just get people to come to Oasis and help out and resource and do this and that and the other. And the sentiment was like, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we tell people? Why wouldn't we be telling people to come to church? Church is a good thing. This is a good place. There's good things happening here. We got to tell people about this. And so that's the kind of enthusiasm from a fairly new person to our mix here that I love to hear, that enthusiasm. And if we've lost a little bit of that enthusiasm for whatever reason, you know, it's time to open eyes and hearts and get involved and recapture some of that enthusiasm. Because there's really good things happening in people's lives right around our church and in our community. So, man alive, there's good things happening. Get involved as much as you can. And all of the other initiatives that are happening with the food distribution once a month through the food run, and the prayer room, the healing room that a group of Pastor Ken and a group of people have, and many, many other things taking place throughout the week. As we sit back and do a little accounting, do just a little bit of assessment. We might think sometimes there's so many needs and so much that should be done. We don't have enough to do the job. But just like the loaves and the fish, we look at what we've got, and I'm amazed. I look at you folks, I'm amazed. I hear your testimonies, I hear your stories. I hear some of the struggles sometimes. And I'm amazed at God's faithfulness to keep you moving along in spite of your circumstances sometimes. And when we put it all together, here we are. Here we are. And we get to do life together for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Life groups, that's another big one. I love hearing some of the stories about things happening in life groups. The connections. The conniptions at times too. Because that's where life happens. When I think of what Jesus did with his disciples, traveling from place to place, ministering, teaching his disciples, just doing life together, when I hear the stories of different things happening in life groups, I just can't help but think, yep, there's another group of disciples just doing life together, seeing miracles, seeing people healed within their life groups, seeing people encouraged, being able to pull out all the stops and just share life honestly with one another. And each person in the group being able to just absorb it and wrap arms around and love each other and grow together. So here we are. We get to do this together. Arena? Maybe. No arena? Possibly. But that's not the biggest thing. The biggest thing is people. It's you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Even you. And we get to do this together. And that's such a good thing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I've asked them to close in a song this morning. They've done it already. I think it's called In the River. So we are in the river. And just to let you know that, which date was it now? May 6th weekend, Herb Lee is coming from Abbotsford, Vancouver area. And he'll be meeting again with our leaders of the church, but we're also having one evening where emerging leaders, I think there's about 20 in our church that we've invited, specifically younger folks that are showing lots of life and promise, already giving leadership in some ways, and perhaps we'll give more leadership in different ways. We're going to invite them to be part of that weekend, and Herb Lee is going to speak into their lives too and do some teaching about leadership, spiritual leadership, and so forth. So we're growing in leadership, and I'm going to say this, that I believe that over and above spending money on buildings, which is great, we need to maintain our buildings and make them look nice and functional, but I think in days ahead we're going to be spending attention towards resourcing people in our congregation, raising up leaders, putting opportunities before them, whether it's materials or whether it's conferences or those kinds of things, so that they can be built up in order to serve very effectively. Resource-wise, I just have a few resources on the front chairs here. If any of you are interested, I think I have 7 or 8 copies of this one called Praying the Bible, the Book of Prayers, Praying God's Word Out Loud for Spiritual Breakthrough, Wes and Stacy Campbell. There's some really, really good information in here and great prayers. If any of you are so inclined, please grab one of those books. I only have 3 of these right now. There's some on back order. This one's called Manfield's Book of Manly Men. I don't see all the men running up here yet. This is a profoundly good book. I've given it to a number of people, a number of guys already in the congregation. If there's some of you, especially younger men here today, married or not, doesn't matter. I've got 3 copies here, more on the way. You're more than welcome to grab these and make yourselves available to them. Let's stand together and sing together this great song again.